more and more nuclear material was being made, workers at the reactor had to find a way to deal with it. So what did they do? They dumped it into lakes and that drained into rivers that flowed into the Arctic and even the Caspian Sea. Is it dropping? And once villages in the area began falling ill from drinking water, engineers started putting the radioactive waste into underground tanks, then sealing them in concrete. And no one is certain what caused the explosion at the reactor in 1957. Some say it was due to nitric acid converting into explosive salts at the bottom of the tank. And the blast sent about 160 tons of concrete to an equivalent height of the Empire State Building. Stopping. And the radioactive dust covered a huge area. Actually, it was probably twice that of New York City. And the prisoners at a nearby gulag could see a mushroom-shaped fireball eclipse the sun. And leaves on trees curled and died and fell off, and surrounding forest vegetation rapidly died. Days after, farmers noticed their cows were suddenly bleeding, and soldiers rounded up the cattle and shot them.
Node
and
5, 1, 2, 5, 3, 7, time out.
Burned the remains. There was about 10,000 villagers had to pack their belongings and abandon their homes and their farms, and the homes were later destroyed as well. Dropping. The Washington Post reported people showing up at hospitals with the skin on their faces and hands starting to peel off. And the lakes in the area had amounts of radioactive isotopes equivalent to 11 tons of radium, and that's comparable with what we found in some reactors. Dropping again. And the disaster I just described is just one radioactive waste tank exploding. And when the Soviet Union collapsed, countrywide nuclear facilities were left to deteriorate, and more waste got dumped, and other accidents were covered up. Most of these remained undisturbed until today. And this now takes us to climate change. And because of climate change, Russia is warming twice that of the rest of the world. In fact, Canada is warming very, very quickly, too. And its dense forests and carbon-filled soils are now experiencing the effects of intense wildfires. Some of these are getting closer and closer to Mayak, and a dozen other non-functioning nuclear sites as well. And these fires are threatening to reignite radioactive compounds that have remained inactive since the Cold War. This could result in what is now being referred to as atomic wildfires. Drop in. Back in 2020, a small grass fire near the Chernobyl exclusion zone erupted into a major blaze. Cesium-137, that was still in the ground, was sent aloft by the flames and got dispersed across Europe. Radiation reached about 16 times the normal level, reaching people as far away as the Netherlands. And a similar thing happened on May 2026 when a Russian drone crashed in the exclusion zone. No one knows for sure how far the cesium got spread. As well, no one is completely sure how the spread of cesium due to these fires will increase cancer rates. And during wildfires, cesium can travel with the smoke and land on crops and animals and animal feed. Over time, it can also build up in rivers and streams. In fact, water in one of Ukraine's rivers has been found containing strontium-90, which is also spread by wildfires. And some of this stuff has half-lives of up to 1,000 years or more. And just to finish up with this one, data from 2002 to 2026 shows wildfires getting closer to about 3 plutonium Russian waste facilities and a few nuclear plants. The facilities themselves are designed to shut down if power is lost. The risk is for the waste that's stored there. So Russia is not the the only the country susceptible to these type of wildfires. So this is the A3EKX, and this is a Science and Tech Mess. If you'd like to join us, you have a comment, come on in. And then the next one, while we're talking about atomic wildfires, this is about atomic sharks. It's kind of along the line of the same as what we're talking here. If you'd like to join us, you have a comment, come on in. Well, atomic sharks. Again, this sounds maybe a little cryptic, too. Scientists, they're trying to determine if nuclear fallout from atomic tests could be the reason some sharks are showing strange and aggressive behavior. From 1946 to 1958, the U.S. military detonated about 37 nuclear bombs at the Bikini Atoll and the... Anetawetok Atoll as well, which resulted in extreme and irreversible harm to the populations and in the environment there. Residents had a significant increase in cancer rates, and local produce was unfit for consumption. About a half century later, the Marshall Islands became the world's largest shark sanctuary. And Expedition X, this is the atomic shark. This airs on Discovery Wednesday, August 29th. Some of you have Discovery. Give it a watch. It could be very interesting. This is August 29th. And biologist Phil Torres and expedition host Heather Amaro will be exploring the island's waters to determine if any of the nuclear fallout could have altered the local shark's behavior. In fact, it's documented that high doses of acute radiation can certainly damage an animal's central nervous system, leading to behavioral changes, and the same may apply to sharks. Chernobyl, the exclusion zone there, just dropping. Some interesting things are happening there, not so much in adverse behavior, as far as I know, with some of the animals that have remigrated into that area, but they've learned to adapt. Wolves and feral dogs that have been living in the area now seem to be able to adapt, and they're thinking there's been some genetic changes to them that allowed them to remain in that environment without dire effects. In fact, even some frogs, there's some frogs there that have shown pigmentation. The pigmentation of their skin has changed and helped them adapt to the radiation as well. So over time, adaptation occurs. Maybe that adaptation has happened with these sharks too, and they're not having any adverse effects. But they're going to find out. They're going to try and find out.
Mother Nature always adapts. The ones that can live forward are the ones that keep going. KB3JQQ.
Yeah, this is true, Scott. Survival of the fittest, so to speak. And this is the VH3KX. And my name is Ken. This is Science and Tech Net. If you'd like to join us, come on in. If you have a comment, come on in with that as well. And then the next one here is about the James Webb Space Telescope. It's found the oldest and closest pair of black holes from the very early universe. So we'll get into that one in a moment or so. But if you'd like to join us first, we have a comment, come on in.
This is KI5UIN, Zulu Yankee November. Jason in South Central Texas with checking.
Hey Jason, good to hear you. And I've got you checked in.
Have it all you said.
In that station, come on in.
Mike 7, Oscar Echo Zulu. Yeah. I've only been pushing test 208, so I apologize if I don't make a mistake, but I've never seen other life, but it's not as though I don't think there is, because I think if anyone doesn't believe in any other life on any other planets like that, then we don't know for sure. But I suppose in the future, with James Webb and other explorations, we'll probably find out it is. It's not necessarily big-headed aliens, but there's got to be some sort of biological life on other planets. And 7OEZ, over.
And this is VA3KEX. And I think the consensus among most scientists now is that there is likely life in space throughout the universe. And likely our first contact will be with some form of microbial life. May not be anything like what we have here on Earth, but some form of microbial life. Then later on, we may end up having some sort of contact with something more advanced, maybe some advanced civilization, something like that. Right now, probes in space have detected the building blocks, the very building blocks of life, the amino acids, even the nucleobases of DNA and RNA. And so that shows that the building blocks of life are fairly common in space. So with the right conditions, they could very possibly end up evolving and accumulating into some more advanced chemical reactions that form life. We may not even recognize life on another planet, because what we're looking for, when we're looking for life, we're looking for life that how we recognize it here on Earth. Just dropping. But that doesn't mean that's how life has evolved or formed in space or on other planets. But as it is right now, when they're looking for a planet, they're looking for signatures coming off of it, certain chemical signatures coming off of it with spectroscopic analysis. They'll look for things like water, the chemical signatures from water. Where there's water, there's by reasoning, you would think that there's probably life there. But yeah, that just to answer your question very quickly here, my opinion is I think that there's life there. I'd be absolutely astounded if we're the only living life form in the universe. I couldn't see how that could be possible. I could not see that possible. Any other stations like to make a comment or check in? Come on in.
K-I-5-U-I-N with a comment.
Jason, come on in.
Yeah, I always thought about that too. I always just kind of figured it like all these different solar systems and universes and worlds and stuff are coming and going and evolving, you know, time and time again, but we're just so far apart, and it's so far apart in time that we just never run across each other. That was the way I always thought of it back in that.
Ain't no way we're alone. KB3JQQ.
No, I don't think so either, Scott. Statistically, I don't see how it could be possible. But to Jason, your comment too about other worlds and that, and other universes being far apart. There may be universes out there, or even within our universe here, places that are harboring life, but they're so far away and they're traveling so fast from us that we'll never be able to determine whether there's anything there. Because some of these places would be traveling, the outskirts of our universe right now is probably traveling faster than the speed of light, so you won't get any useful information coming back from that distance out, because nothing No, information can travel faster than the speed of light. No, useful information. Anyway, just drop it. You never know what's going to be on the artificial horizon of the universe. The other thing, too, is that universes. And there's a lot of research going into that now, and the possibility of multi-universes is quite high. And so that could also mean that when the universe is forming, you have this sort of patchwork of universes forming. Some parts of the universe are starting to